Welcome to another episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, but Who Came Up with Dating? A humorous guide to help you succeed in dating, and Giraffe Tracks, the inspiring true story of an LDS missionary in post-apartheid South Africa. Thanks for joining us again today, and I'm excited about today because as the season of love approaches, as Valentine's Day approaches, I thought it'd be fun to do a four-week series on dating. Obviously, I'm especially interested in this topic because of my book on the issue, and the material that we're going to be talking about is covered in my book. So today, let's talk a little bit about online dating, specifically an LDS approach to online dating, because much of what the world looks at as online dating is not what we have in mind. And I should say up front, online dating is not, under any circumstances, for minors. If you are not 18, at least 18, don't even attempt online dating in any form. If you don't know a person personally in real life, don't even chat with them online. The risks are just too dangerous. There's just too many risks, too many predators out there. And once you're 18, once you're old enough to be searching for an eternal companion, you can approach it very carefully. And we're going to go through some guidelines of how to do that. So let's start with a quote by Elder Dallin H. Oaks. He said, "The best way to avoid divorce from an unfaithful, abusive, or unsupportive spouse is to avoid marriage to such a person. If you wish to marry well, inquire well. Associations through hanging out or exchanging information on the internet are not a sufficient basis for marriage. There should be dating, followed by careful and thoughtful and thorough courtship. There should be ample opportunities to experience the prospective spouse's behavior in a variety of circumstances." Now, you may conclude from this that online dating is not appropriate, but he doesn't say don't communicate with people online, but rather that communicating online is not sufficient basis for marriage. Now, Elder Oaks' quote brings me to the first point that I want to make, and that is, don't date online. And of course, your line here is, wait a minute, aren't we talking about online dating? Yes, we are. But no, we're not. In fact, let's just say it this way. Do not date online, meet online, then date in real life. It really shouldn't be called internet dating at all. It should be called internet meeting. Simply because the idea is not to date somebody online. You don't want to have a courtship online. That doesn't work. But meeting online can. The idea of online dating services and systems is to get on a date. And if you aren't getting on a date with somebody, it's not going to work. And there's a number of reasons for this. Okay, first off, if you end up getting attached to somebody that you've never met, it's going to be a pretty heartbreaking disappointment when you learn that the guy is different than you thought he was. You also may find that you are attracted to this person, and meeting them in person, you may find that they're just not what you're looking for. They're scum, and you've invested a lot of time and heart into this person when you should have just simply found out enough to know that you can trust them enough to meet them and then meet them. It's just to save you a lot of heartache and a lot of time and effort. Here's another guideline, and I'm going to call this one a soft rule as opposed to a hard rule, the not for minors rule. Don't online date before at least 18. I would call a very stone hard rule. Don't ever break that one, but here's a soft rule. Don't date out of state. Okay, you may be tempted to date for a long time online if a person lives out of state or is far enough away that you can't get to them very often. It's just best, if possible, to seek out those who are within simple driving distance, you know, within, I'd say, an hour or two. You can get away with a couple hours driving as long as you're willing to actually make those drives. Okay, but if they are in another state, if they are far enough away that you can't be seeing them at least every couple weeks, then just probably better not go that way. It's just, there's too much danger of getting attached and running into the problems that we talked about before, of getting attracted and then finding that they're not what you thought they were. It's really hard to get to know them. You can make up all kinds of stuff on the internet, and you really don't know how much somebody's making up when you're just finding out from their profile on the internet. Don't become attached to someone before meeting them in person. That's very important, because it's tempting when you see somebody and you're like, wow, this person's like gold. And then you find that they are not gold in person. That's hard to deal with. So if you approach it with the idea, okay, let's just meet this person, not because it's probably going to work, but just in case it might happen to someday, keep it very light until you meet. Don't get attached to anybody before you meet them. Another hard rule, I think you need to have some non-negotiables. Have some things that you will not or must be the case in order for you to even meet them or communicate with them, okay? I would highly recommend, highly recommend that one of your non-negotiables be that they have a current temple recommend. You're looking for an eternal companion, not a mortal buddy. Remember that by knowingly choosing to marry someone who is not temple worthy, you're knowingly forfeiting those eternal blessings. Just make sure up front, before you have a chance to get attached, if possible before you meet, find out if they have a temple recommend. And then once you do meet, and we can talk more about this in a moment, once you do meet, ask them directly, because sometimes profiles go out of date and you want it to be a current temple recommend. Here's another aspect to that, and a non-negotiable. Don't go for somebody who is looking for that special someone to get them back in the straight and narrow. There's a lot of people out there like that, that really want to find somebody who can help them come back to church and become faithful again and get their temple recommend. Don't do that. Don't let that be somebody you become interested in. Don't meet that person simply because you're looking for an eternal companion, not a missionary opportunity. Don't even consider somebody like that. And if you are somebody like that, if you're someone who's not faithful right now and wants to be, but it's just not getting back into it, get your life straight first. Don't even attempt dating before getting your life in order. That is too important. If you do meet somebody and they say, well, hey, can we get together? Then you can tell them straight. Say, well, get your life in order and then we can talk. Here's another important thing to keep in mind. Do your homework. Okay, I'm not even going to bring up different dating services, LDS dating services. As far as I know, there are some decent ones out there. But do your homework. Do your homework. Go to friends, talk to people who have done it, ask them what sites have worked and what haven't worked, ask them what aspects of those sites worked, what didn't. Really know what you're getting into before you even start. Now, when you create a profile for your on the dating site that you choose, be open, honest, and real. Don't make up stuff and don't exaggerate things. If you're trying to study to become a doctor, don't say that you're a doctor. Say that you're studying to become a doctor. Okay, don't lie or give any information that would give somebody the wrong impression. And also, don't give personal information that could make you easy to find in real life. That comes later. Personal information such as a phone number or an address, those come later, often not till after you meet. Okay, once you give somebody your information, they can find you. And if they have lied about everything on the internet, they know where to find you. And that is a dangerous place to be. Make sure your picture on your profile is a good representation of you. Don't get a picture of you making a goofy face or snuggling with your dog, unless, of course, you're naturally goofy-faced and constantly rolling around with your dog. And also, don't use a professional glamour shot. It may be attractive, but it's not the real you, and you don't want to put across any wrong impressions. You also may want to have a trusted friend or a family member take a look at your profile and ask them, is this me? Does this really represent me well? and get their feedback. If they say you're being too humble, try to be a little more open and honest. And if they say you're exaggerating or being too fake, try to tone it down and be more honest. Now, online dating is not, and I emphasize this, it's not a shortcut. This is not the easy way out of dating. In fact, I would say that online dating in many ways is more difficult and more work and effort and emotional energy draining, can be more emotionally energy draining than traditional dating, you know, meeting somebody at a dance or a school or whatever. Don't think of this as a shortcut. You've got to put in all the effort that you would have otherwise, sometimes more so, to make sure that things are going to work right and that you're approaching properly. And don't have unrealistic expectations. Don't assume that because you've agreed to meet that it's going to work out. Now let's talk for a minute about avoiding trouble. I know we talk about this a lot, but we usually talk about it in the sense of just avoid the whole everything altogether. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if you are going to do online dating, here's some things to keep in mind, okay? Use your instincts. Listen to the spirit. Follow your hunches. Your hunches are more often than not going to be the spirit trying to guide you. If something feels kind of strange, a little odd, not quite right, then back off. The picture on somebody's profile you may find is a young, good-looking guy, but he may be using an old profile picture or one that he found on Flickr on the internet somewhere. If you find that a person that you're emailing has a tendency to hide information of any kind, stop the contact and don't pursue further at all. If they're hiding stuff, anything, they're hiding more. You can pretty much assume that. Okay, if there is any pictures on his or her profile that are lewd, that are inappropriate, that have sexual connotations, avoid that person entirely. They may treat it like a joke. They may act like they're just being silly. It's not just inappropriate. It's dangerous for you to approach somebody who has that. That person is a trap. One way or another, okay? Just consider that. If there are inappropriate pictures or messages on their profile, then don't go there, period. End of story. Also, if a person is not willing to meet, if they're hesitant to meet in person, and you know, then don't pursue them any further. Just break it off now. Don't keep the contact going if they do not want to meet. A good rule of thumb is to meet within a month of your first contact with the person. If a whole month has gone by and you haven't met or at least have a very soon meeting planned, just break it off. Remember, this is not online dating. This is online meeting. And somebody who is hiding stuff will not want to meet because it's too difficult to hide the truth in person for most people. If you do find somebody that interests you, you can contact them directly by email or whatever. In this aspect, there's not any gender roles, who contacts who or who makes the first invitation to start emailing back and forth. There's no gender roles in that in online dating. But if somebody doesn't reply the first time, feel free to message them again to make sure they got the message. But if they don't respond again, you may want to just assume it's that they're not going to contact you or that they're not interested or that they're possibly meeting somebody else right now and waiting to see how that goes. So if you've contacted them twice and they have not responded back, just let it go. It'll be easier on you that way. Okay, so when you do decide to meet, choose somewhere to meet that's public and make the date a short, just maybe an hour. Just say, let's go for ice cream, and that's it, and then have it be done. Just a short visit is good on a number of levels. First off, you get that first impression over with, and it's done. Either it's a good impression or it's a bad impression, and it'll be over with, and you'll have at least a taste of whether or not you want to meet with this person again. And also, if it is somebody who has been hiding the truth, you're only having to meet with them for ice cream, and then it's over, and you can just drive home on your own. And remember, you met in public. In fact, meet there. Don't have them pick you up somewhere. Have them meet you at Baskin-Robbins or whatever. You know, pick some place that's a short meeting, basically to get the first impression out of the way. I want to hint to girls, some lower life forms may think watching a movie is licensed to get all physical, just a heads up. And guys, if you are a lower life form, back off. Now, if your first meeting goes well and your date is worth pursuing, as far as you can tell, then you can give them some personal information, maybe your phone number, to allow them to pick you up on a second date, if you are sure you can trust them based on how things went when you met them. If you would rather meet somewhere again at the place you're going to meet, that's fine too. And that should be understandable for the first few dates. And until you've been on a few dates, enough to really be able to tell if this person is trustworthy, always tell a friend or family member where you're going to be and who you're meeting with. Don't just go. You've got to tell somebody. It's just a basic safety precaution, because no matter what they've said on the internet, they're still a stranger until you've met them. Remember that. A person is always still a stranger until you've met them in person. When you meet, try to be yourself. Be open and honest in your conversation. Again, don't give too personal of information, but be open and honest. Tell about your interests, the things that you really like to do. Ask direct questions that will save you the stress and time of finding out late that they were lying on the internet. Ask them directly, do you have a current temple recommend? That is really not too direct for online dating when you meet. It's expected that you confirm the information that they claimed on their profile. And so ask very direct questions. Just be straightforward about it. One of the reasons for that is because people are more likely to be open and honest face to face. There are times you may find they'll say, well, it wasn't the time that I set up the profile, but I've just had a little trouble with tithing lately, but I'm planning on getting things back in order. Then you know it's over. And I hate to say it that way, I really do. But remember that you're looking for an eternal companion, not somebody you have to drag to the celestial kingdom. That's not fair to you. It's not right. And it's going to be a very difficult marriage if you are the one carrying the weight. And again, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. If you are not where you need to be, if you do not have a current temple recommend or have things in your life that need repenting of, do that before you approach any form of dating. Now, if you find somebody online and you start dating and so forth, when do you take down your profile? Basically saying that I'm not online dating anymore. And the simple answer is, once you've had the talk and decided together that you are a couple, then take your profile down or deactivate it. And speaking of serious talks, don't save serious talks for email, whether it be the define your relationship talk, determining where you stand in your relationship, or breaking up or whatever. Don't do that by email. Remember, the idea of online dating is not to date online, but to meet online so that you can communicate in real life. And the only exception I can think to this is if you've agreed together, you know, I just really have a hard time speaking my mind in person, and I feel better if I'm writing it in a letter or something, so let's use email for serious talks. If you decide that in person, then you can have serious talks by email. But otherwise, for the most part, for most people, don't do serious talks by email. There's a number of reasons for this. It's too easy to misinterpret what somebody wrote, and there's just too much time between responses. If somebody says something that deeply hurts you, and you respond saying, how could you say that? Da, 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 da. And it's a day before they're able to get back because they've been at work and haven't been able to get back to their email. You may be fuming and deciding it's over before they get a chance to say, oh, no, that's not what I meant at all. I'm sorry. This was wrong words for what I was trying to say. In person, you can clarify those things instantly before anybody gets deeply hurt or there's misinterpretations of what's going on. So don't use email for serious conversations. Have those in person. Because remember in all of this that if things do work out, you're going to have to learn to have serious face-to-face talks anyway. You may as well start learning that together now. If you decide by email, yes, you want to be serious, and then you're talking in person, and it suddenly feels weird because you're thinking, oh, well, did they mean that, what they said on email? It's confusing that way, you know, and it's possible to have those kind of conversations by phone because you can hear each other's tone of voice. It is instant and so forth. But I would say don't use email for those kind of talks. And once you do have a talk, you'll find it much more satisfying and thorough to talk in person than any other form of indirect communication. You may be scared to talk in person and think, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know how I'm going to. But once you do open up and talk, you'll find, wow, that is liberating. I feel like I can talk to this person like I can talk to nobody else. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And the sooner you learn that with the person, the more likely things are to work out between you. Even if you are breaking up, it's more likely that you'll have a chance of getting back together. And that's a totally different topic, which we're not going to talk about right now. But it's just better to talk face-to-face and more fulfilling. So that's our little discussion about online dating. And thanks so much for joining us today. Again, I'm Chas Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, But Who Came Up with Dating? And I'm going to point you to my website this time, which is chashathaway.com, C-H-A-S-H-A-T-H-A-W-A-Y. And I'm just pointing you there because that's where my book can be purchased. Again, thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome.